This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. If you don't take anything else away from our service today, I hope that these words you will. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world. But God sent the Son in order that the world might be saved through him. So many of you may have heard of this idea of 6 degrees of separation. There's actually a game that you can play. It's like the Kevin Bacon game. 6 degrees of separation. In other words, that means you start with yourself and the people you know, and after 6 degrees of people, you reach Kevin Bacon. Now, I don't know that much about Kevin Bacon, so I've never actually played it that way. But one thing that is true that we learn from this idea is that we are all connected and not very far apart. Facebook, the social media platform, has 2.8 billion monthly users. 2.8 billion users worldwide visit Facebook at least once a month. Inside the United States, 63% of the U.S. population that is 12 and older has a Facebook page or profile and visits it at least once a month. 63%. So with that many people in mind and that many people to track, which can be scary in its own way, Facebook says it's really more closer to 4 degrees of separation. That is 4 degrees from where we are sitting right here. Sorry, Siri, why are you talking to me? She said 4 degrees, Siri says, yes. 4 degrees. From where we sit today, to the people that we know, to the people that they know, to the people that they know. Talk about being interconnected. We hear today a lot about being born from above, being born again. Jesus is talking to a gentleman by the name of Nicodemus, who, by the way, woke him up in the middle of the night. And I can't help but wonder if maybe it was during the day over lunch, Jesus might have responded in a little more pastoral way. But he's like, I just don't understand. How can you be born again? And what Jesus is trying to explain, which is so hard, which I believe the church has been trying to explain for 2,000 years, is no. When we talk about dying and being born again in Christ, we are talking about dying to this way of life that the world has given us and rising into a way of life that Jesus Christ has taught us. Hence, the Son did not come to condemn the world, but in hopes that the world would become that kingdom that God envisioned from the beginning through understanding Jesus Christ and the lessons that he taught. And if we take this idea of all being interconnected, 4 degrees separate from everyone in the world, we have a great responsibility. Because we can no longer escape the idea that what we do and how we behave and the actions we use and the words that we use impact the world and the kingdom of God. Today is Trinity Sunday. Trinity being Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This idea of relationship of God that God has and has sent to us If anything, I believe that the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, which has been argued over for centuries, if it doesn't teach us anything else, it teaches us that God is about relationship. And that to be with God, as children of God, we too must be about relationship. That can be our relationship with our families, our relationship with our neighbors, our relationship with creation. Earlier this week, I was talking with a couple of colleagues about this gospel reading. And somebody said, I think a great title would be, What Keeps Jesus Up at Night? And it's funny because I don't know, maybe it's a woman thing, I'm really not sure. But you know, it's quiet and you lay down and you go to bed, you've done your nightly routine, and then all of a sudden, everything that you ever needed to think about pops into the head. Meanwhile, my husband's already snoring and asleep. But I thought, why do I need to worry about these things now? And I came across this funny thing of things to think about at night. What keeps Jesus up at night? What keeps us up at night? Well, Nicodemus keeps Jesus up at night. But I was thinking about the silly things that can keep us up at night. And someone went through the effort of putting down some of those silly things. One of them was, what if my dog only brings back the ball because he thinks I like throwing it? I mean, silly things. If poison is past its expiration date, is it more poisonous now or is it no longer poisonous? I could think about that one for a while. Do twins realize that one of them was an accident? And that every time you clean something, especially if you're dusting, you're just making something else dirty. 100 years ago, everyone owned a horse and only the rich had cars. Today, everyone owns a car and only the rich people have horses. Maybe there are a lot of animals that really need glasses, but nobody knows it. And as fishers of men, I like this particular imagery. If you rip a hole in a net, there are actually fewer holes in it than when you started. What keeps people up at night? Maybe oxygen is slowly killing all of us and it just happens to take 75 to 100 years to work. So I was thinking about these things about keeping us up at night, and what keeps Jesus up at night is this idea that when I go back to the Father, are you all going to know that this really is about relationship? That everything that we've done together is about how we interact and love each other. Nicodemus, I'm so glad that you came to visit me in the middle of the night. And I'm just telling you, as someone who knows, a religious leader, are you telling me you cannot understand that at the crux of everything we do is about how we interact with each other? And how we grow in that relationship. See, the idea of having a relationship with God isn't so much about getting into heaven. And I've said this before, it's about getting a little bit of heaven into us. So that we can bring a little bit of heaven to the world. And those 4 degrees get closer and closer and closer. But yet our impact gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And sometimes this process is hard and confusing. Because Lord knows, trying to have a relationship is one of the hardest things that we do as human beings. Sometimes the hardest relationship is the one we have with ourselves. But Jesus says, Join me by being born from heaven, recognizing that you are a child of God. Reorient your thoughts and your ideas to what God is asking us to, not what the world is calling us to. And ultimately, even when we don't understand, we have to trust the process and walk and know that God and Jesus Christ can transform our hearts and transform our lives and transform the world around us. Sometimes trusting in the process is the hardest thing that we have to do. But it makes us, this idea of relationship, it makes us who we are, and who we are both as individuals, but also as diversity. So I invite you this week to think, if you were to visit Jesus in the middle of the night with all those questions running through your head, what might your question be? If you could be in the story and you could be Nicodemus and you could encounter Christ, what would your question be for Jesus? And then trust in the process. That we're going to fail sometimes and we're going to get it right sometimes, but we're going to continue to grow in our identity as Christians and neighbors and friends and family. Amen.